Last week, Harvey shared with us one of the most important values as a church, and that is being family and community together. And so today we're briefly considering another value that is central to who we are as a church: unconditional love. Our vision as a church is that our community and all those communities that we have contact with experience the unconditional love of Jesus. So how is that going to happen? By us sharing the love of Jesus with them, by demonstrating how Jesus has transformed our lives and can change everyone else's life for the better too. That is our mission. Before we look a bit more at what that means practically for each of us, let's look at what we learn about God's love from the Bible. As Jenny's just read to us, God is love. That is who he is. He is love, total, perfect love. And in the Old Testament, we read frequently about his unfailing love. And it's easy to assume, particularly in the Old Testament, that God being a God of righteousness and justice, it's therefore all about judgment and wrath. But yet over and over again, we read verses like in the Psalms, the Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to anger, filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. So God is love and has promised that nothing can ever separate us from that love. As we know in Romans, where he says, nothing can separate us from God's love, neither death, nor life, nor angels or demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. When we use the term unconditional love, what do we mean? Does it mean that we can do whatever we like because he loves us anyway? Well, yes and no. The unconditional bit does mean that God loves us whatever we do or have done, whatever we think or believe, whoever we are, he still loves us. There's no conditions on him loving us. However, as all of you who are parents will know, loving someone doesn't mean that you always love or approve of what they do. Loving often means training, discipline, protecting, which often isn't fun for either a parent or the child, but it's always done out of love because the parent wants what's best for the child. So parents set rules and boundaries, and so does God. If we truly experience God's love, then we can't help but love him back, and we'll want to live our lives in a way that pleases him. So that's why when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. That's the first and greatest commandment, but the equally important one is love your neighbor as yourself. So basically, if we could get loving God and loving others right, everything would fall into place and we would live in a perfect world. We know that God's rules and boundaries are for the best, but so often we still break them, either willfully or unconsciously. And again, his love is unfailing, but we also need his mercy and forgiveness to put us right again. And of course, the ultimate expression of God's love to us is through Jesus, through the ultimate sacrifice. We've been thinking at Christmas of how Jesus gave up the riches of heaven to come and live in frailty of a human body, in poverty, in a land that was occupied and oppressed, to teach us how to love by his example. But that he was also willing to be abused, tortured, and killed by people that he loved so that he could overcome sin and death for us. That is amazing, incomprehensible, overwhelming love. So when we say that one of our main values as a church is unconditional love, what does that mean? We recognize God's love for us. How do we show that to others? How is it going to transform people in our community? John, 1 John, we read, "Dear friends, since God so loved the world, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God, but he shows himself as love through us." And what does that love look like? You'll be familiar, if you've ever been to a wedding, with the passage in 1 Corinthians. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It doesn't demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. To love like that is supernatural. But we have the Holy Spirit within us. God is within us. His love is within us. And so we can do this. Now, we're first of all called to love those in our family. And that's not just our natural family, as we were hearing about last week. It's also our church family. And Harvey shared some very practical ways that he'd experienced love from people in the church. And we've been reminded regularly, quite recently, about the verses in Acts 2 where early Christians shared their life together and they cared for each other so that no one amongst them was in need. That is working out God's love in our lives. We are to be his hands and feet. But sometimes it's hard. Sometimes the cost is sacrificial. But if it's true love, we will do it anyway. We're called to show love to everyone, not just those we like. Love is a choice. Love costs, and sometimes love hurts. I don't know what it's like in your family, but often love is tested most with those that you live with. Phil and I will often say to each other, "It's a good job that I love you," when we're getting on each other's nerves. And it can be the same in a church family, though I'm not sure we'd be brave enough to say that out loud. If we're going to show God's unconditional love to the world, it has to start with us in our church. We want the world to say, "See how they love one another," and want to join in, to experience that love for themselves. It's not easy, though. We're human. We make mistakes. We say things that hurt. And sometimes we fail to say anything, and that hurts. We don't always agree, whether that's to do with our theology or how we run church, our life choices, or even just the food we like to eat. But God says, love each other anyway. How often have we heard people say that they've walked away from their faith, not because they didn't believe in God, but because they've been hurt by the church and they don't want to be a part of it anymore, or they don't feel accepted or loved for who they are? Jesus didn't care what other people thought or who he mixed with. He frequently spent time with those who were rejected by society. Tax collectors, prostitutes, lepers. His love and acceptance of them was not measured by their behaviour or their condition, and neither should ours be. He wasn't afraid to tell them to change, but he loved them first. Right, let's think of a few examples for us to check on our unconditional love gauges. Okay, right, you're chatting to someone you've just met and discovered they've recently come out of prison. How does that affect how you feel about them? Your love and acceptance of that person? Does their crime make a difference? Perhaps it was a burglary, or perhaps it was a sex offence, a rapist, a paedophile, or a murderer even. Are we really called to love them? What if they show no remorse? Can I still love them? What about someone you meet with a drug habit, or an alcoholic, or even a drug dealer? Can I love them unconditionally? What about that single mum? Lots of children, all different dads, living off benefits. Can I accept and not judge? What about that person we meet who is gay or trans or gender fluid? Are they welcome in our church? What about if they're gay and married? Is there a place for them here? Can I love them fully and accept who they are? God loves them all completely. Can I? Can we love everyone for who they are? Or do they have to think and behave like us before we truly love and accept them, before they fit in our church family? What would this church look like if we could all truly live out God's love with everyone we meet? And what difference would it make in our community? Perhaps a more uncomfortable question still is, do I want to be part of a church that looks like that? A church full of hurting, broken people with chaotic, messy lives. Jesus was clear about what caring for those in need means to him. He said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick, you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Some of you are saying, but we're in lockdown. What can we do now? Are you out at work? Well, love your colleagues or your customers. Are you stuck at home? Pick up the phone to someone. Check up on a neighbour. Bake a cake. Offer to do some shopping for someone. Well, you might be in a position to volunteer in the community with a charity. Lots of you are doing all of this already, I know, and you can probably come up with lots more ideas than I can. But if we are to live out God's love in our daily lives, it's going to have an impact much further than in our church family. If people meet us in the workplace, as a neighbour, in a sports club or a community group and experience firsthand the unconditional love and acceptance of Jesus through us, that is God touching their life. That is the beginning of his transforming work in their lives. That is the beginning of his unconditional love transforming our community.